With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson, and we'll tell you that if you're looking for Lady Vols basketball, you can find that on AM 990, as tonight it's Tennessee against Tennessee Tech. First time they've met in 30 years. But the Tennessee Lady Vols, ranked number 10 in one poll, number 11 in the other, in action tonight after the Tennessee Volunteers got their victory last night against Presbyterian College. But Sports Talk is with you until 7 o'clock, and right now it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, there is an incredible prize up for grabs this evening.
Yeah, $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. Now, Proper Popcorn is a classic concept reimagined. They've got over 50 handcrafted small-batch popcorn flavor combinations. You can create your perfect popcorn treat. Proper Popcorn is a perfect place for a family outing, a date night, or getting a gift for a loved one. Locations, there are two, 29 Market Square and 9700 Kingston Pike. $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn if you can answer this trivia question. There are five conference championship games going on this weekend. That means there are 10 teams playing in Power 5 conference championship games this weekend. Of those 10 teams, two have never played in a conference championship game before. Name the two. Of the 10 teams playing in Power 5 conference championship games this weekend, two have never played in a conference championship game. Name those two teams.
656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Mark. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are y'all tonight?
Doing fine. How are you?
Doing just fine. By the way, I wish I could have seen on TV, but my Bengals thoroughly thrashed the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I have coworkers that like the Steelers. I've had fun this week.
I'll bet you have. That's a season sweep. Well, and I think the first time since 08 that you guys won both against the Steelers?
Yeah. I was way back in my younger years then. So, anyway, I'm going to go with Michigan and Baylor.
You are half right. You started strong.
Well, there you go, everybody.
Mark, we sure do appreciate it. You too. Let's go next to you. Bye-bye. Let's go next to Brian. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm going to go with Michigan and Oklahoma State.
Yes, it's Michigan and Oklahoma State. Nice job. I thought it was Wake Forest would be one of those, but they went under, we think, Jim Grobe a few years back to the ACC title game. So Michigan and Oklahoma State, that's the correct answer. Those are two of the 10 teams playing in Power 5 conference championship games this weekend that have never played in a conference championship game before. So, Brian, you have won a $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. Congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we know you'll enjoy it. Outstanding work. Thought we might be here for just a little bit.
I did,
too. I thought it was a challenging question.
Yeah, but not for Brian.
No.
John, by the way, I think this is kind of interesting with the Oklahoma situation. So Shane Beamer has emerged as a, quote, prime candidate. Who knows what direction they're going to go in. But if you go back and look at Oklahoma, they typically hire assistant coaches. They hired Chuck Fairbanks way back in the 50s and or 60s, and then he coached. He is the only coach that I can think of going back to like the 40s that left Oklahoma for another job, not a college job. He went to New England in 1973. But then they hired Barry Switzer. Then they hired Gary Gibbs. Then they hired John Blake. Then they hired Bob Stoops. Then they hired Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's harder to go in the assistant coaching ranks nowadays. There's a little bit more pressure on you to hire a proven head coach somewhere.
Yes.
So we'll see if they do that. How proven is Shane Beamer?
Right.
1 year, 6-6. He spent the previous 3 years at Oklahoma. So it's going to be interesting to see what direction they go. Are they going to go coordinator? Are they going to try to find a, quote, proven coach somewhere? I don't know. Now, Beamer makes $2.75 million at South Carolina. Obviously, Oklahoma, yeah. Now that Oklahoma can pay him a lot more, but you know what? So can South Carolina if they choose to.
That's right.
If they want to keep him. So I'll be curious to see what direction that goes. But that history for Oklahoma of hiring assistant coaches, I found to be pretty intriguing. So a couple of other notes. Josh Heupel's buyout, $8 million. When Lane Kiffin left in 2009, or 2010, January, his buyout was $800,000. Oklahoma's going to get $4.5 million from Riley leaving, so that'll help them in regard to their next coach, unless they hire a head coach somewhere where they're going to have to buy that guy out
right
of where he leaves. So, anyway, I thought those numbers were kind of interesting.
Very interesting numbers. We are here at Double Dogs on Kingston Pike. It's your chance to become a qualifier and perhaps the grand prize winner as we give away the grand prize tomorrow in the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville contest, where on New Year's Eve you'll be at the Ryman Auditorium as it'll be the Old Crow Medicine Show, and then you'll have enjoy that concert. Then Saturday, January 1st, you'll be at Bridgestone Arena for the Predators and Chicago, and then on Sunday, still in Nashville, Nissan Stadium for when the Titans host the Dolphins. You get $750. Stay where you want to stay, eat what you want to eat, but the only way you can register is to come on down to Double Dogs, where we are, Kingston Pike at Ebenezer in West Knoxville. And it's a pleasure to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to former NFL head coach and Titans radio analyst Dave McGinnis. Coach Mack, how are you?
John, Jimmy, I'm doing great. Hey, I love Double Dogs. Doug Matthews and I go to the Double Dogs here on West End quite often, so I can chime right in. Double Dogs is the best.
Oh, outstanding. And I tell you what, things were going outstanding for the Titans, but they've hit in to a bit of a rough patch. And Coach, one of the things that really stands out is to look at what is now an NFL record for most players to play for one team in a season. And fortunately, there's still a lot of football left.
Well, the record was 84 players through a 16-game season, guys, and the Titans hit 86. And the thing that's most revealing, I mean, there's a graph, you know, that was sent to me, and I did 3HL today, and we went over. And look, it's not an excuse. It's just reality. Titans have had, through 12 games, 13 players on the roster that have been available to play every game. That's it. You know, the top of the league is 32 or 33, all right? And the next one to them is 18. So it's unprecedented, the number of injuries and transactions that they've had to make. And they've done a really remarkable job of being able to patch the dike. And they, I think they reached a tipping point as far as deep as they've gotten these last 2 weeks. This bye week, guys, could not have come at a better time. But, you know, the last five games of the season, which that's what we're in right now. We're in a five-week season. After this bye, you've got to be able to get some of your dudes back. That's just the reality of it, and that's what's got to happen for the Titans. As I say, both games that they've lost two in a row for the first time since last year. Both games that they've lost can be directly traced to. Look, missing players, that's life in the National Football League. It's a game of attrition, and nobody cares at the end. And I tell you what, I coached in the league for 31 years. I was really happy when my opponents were hurt. I'm just going to put that out there. And so everybody else, all of our opponents, they're happy that the Titans are hurt now. So you've got to play through that, and you've got to find a way to win games. But regardless of who's playing the last 2 weeks, you cannot have the amount of turnovers that they've had and really beat anybody.
Coach, I was going to touch on that. You run for 270 yards, you're going to win that game in the NFL unless you have four turnovers. So obviously that's the thing they got to eliminate. Were you surprised that the Titans ran for that many yards against New England?
Jimmy, not really, because, you know, Mike and I and Amy Wells, we're at practice every day. And so I knew their plan and what they had going in. They had a great plan going in. They wanted to shorten the game. They wanted to make them play their game as far as the run game goes and take it into the fourth quarter. And it was working to perfection. How about this? The two running backs that had 270 yards, those two running backs, the highest total they'd ever had in their NFL career to this point was 35 yards apiece, okay? And so they had a great plan, and they were blocking the front perfectly, but you can't now they had really, really, guys, let's be honest, they had three turnovers that mattered. The fourth turnover, the game was done. All right, yeah. But the three turnovers that they had, the two fumbles, one by each running back after significant yardage gain, and then the tip pass in the end zone, you know, were killers. They really were, because they had something going in that game. But look, nobody cares. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? Nobody cares about that stuff. They really don't. Just find a way to get it done.
Does Ryan Tannehill have to pick up his game, or do you give him a little bit of a pass because he doesn't have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown?
Well, he doesn't give himself a pass. But, look, you know, the court, and he's clearly said this, he's got to play better. He's got to protect the football better. And each one of those interceptions that he has thrown all have a different narrative to it. You know, you can break it down. I've broken down every one of them. Some of them are, you know, misrun routes. Some of them are bad decisions. Some of them are throws at the end where you're forcing it, trying to make something happen. But at the end of the day, he came out and said it, and he because that's the kind of stand-up guy that he is, and he's the definite leader of this team. He said, look, I've got to play better. I've got to protect the ball better. And he said, it's all on me. Well, it's not all on him, but clearly, I mean, guys, in the National Football League, a quarterback, when things are going good, they get all the praise and all the money. Okay? The head coach, when it's going good, he gets all the praise and he gets the most money on the coaching staff. When it goes bad, they both get all the blame. I've been the head coach. I know how that works. It's just part of the process. But Ryan Tannehill, you know, has got to protect the ball better regardless of the situation.
As you look at it, Coach, has there been any update to hear how things are going for Derrick Henry?
No. I mean, he's in the building. He's in the building. You know, it was a – and again, I'm not a doctor. You know, as I say, when I went to TCU and played football, I dropped out of their medical school after a semester because it was just too easy. I wanted something else harder when I was playing ball. But here's the deal. That bone down there, that metatarsal, doesn't get blood flow. That's why they pin it and screw it immediately. And so it takes time. So, no, there's no, you know, there is no timeline on there. There's no timeline on there. But he's in the building. He's doing what he has to do, just like all of our other injured people are. I mean, I think we've got 18 on injured reserve right now. We need to get our dudes back. That's the bottom line.
What has it been like to watch somebody like Kevin Byard do what he's done? It was really an uphill climb at the start of the season defensively for the Titans, but then for the most part, they've been able to just really pin down some of their opponents. And at times, granted, it started going back the other way as the Patriots were able to score late. But what has it been like just to watch that defense as it has progressed this year?
Well, and I think, you know, the impetus for that defense progressing really started when we had all our people healthy so we could rush with four people. When you rush with four people, we'll talk a little ball here now. You can rush with four people. I've called defenses for a long time in this league. Then you can do a lot with your coverage. If you're playing zone and they've got five eligible guys, you're 4-3 on one side, 3-2 on the other, with any permutation you want. If you're man-to-man, you can have a low-hole rat. You can have a high-hole cutter. You can do whatever you want to do. And that's when the Titans really started to gin defensively. It's when they were getting really good outside and cylinder pressure with their four down people. Well, once you start getting people hurt and you start having different people sub in, and now all of a sudden you don't have that pressure, then you got a little bit more ticks to throw the ball. And so it all goes hand in hand. You ask about Kevin Byard, he's been having a sensational year. And he's the leader back there. You know, now, unfortunately, of course, going with what's going on, you know, he's on the COVID list right now, you know, and hopefully he can be back, you know, through this week. I mean, if there's anything fortunate about being on the COVID list, it's that it came during the open date. But Kevin Byard's year, he's done a tremendous job. And he said from the start that he didn't have the type of season last year that he wanted to have. And he worked and vowed to have a better one, and he's done that.
I guess Dave McGinnis, color analyst with the Titans. Dave, when you look at Mac Jones, you saw him in person for the first time. How good is New England's rookie quarterback?
Well, I see the same guy I saw for Nick Saban. You know, you know what kind of draft show we do here at Titans Radio. It's really in-depth, and you know, we dig deep. And, you know, I've vetted players for 35 years in this league, done every draft, and I really liked it. I liked him because, and guys, he's doing the same thing and is being utilized the same way that Nick Saban used him. You know, he understands what he's seeing. He's a quick processor. He does a nice job of protecting the ball. He's good with play action. And plus, look, they've got a run game that complements what he does. I've had many people ask me on the national shows that I do across the country if I think that he would have done as well if he'd have been taken higher with some of the teams that took quarterbacks higher. And I said, absolutely not. Because he would have gone to a worse team. He went to the ideal place with the 15th pick. And then plus, Bill Belichick, he wasn't happy last year not being in the playoffs. So he went out and guaranteed $160 million to revamp the team. And then Josh McDaniel, he's in a perfect situation. So what I saw is exactly what I saw with Nick Saban. I'm just seeing it now in the National Football League. The guy's a gamer, but the guy's a smart guy. He understands it. He gets it. And really, there's not a whole lot of panic in it.
Do you think that New England right now is the best team in the AFC, or does their run defense concern you?
No, I don't care about New England. I hope they lose every game from here on out. Seriously. You know I'm always going to be honest, right? But I will tell you this. When I was vetting them for this game, all right, I watch every game, they play. That's how I get ready, just like I was coaching. And so they were 2-4. They're a much better team now than they were after 6 weeks. They're a much better team right now. They've got an identity. They know what they're doing. Bill Belichick goes without doubt as being the best head coach in this league. I mean, the six trophies prove it. And so are they a good team right now? They absolutely are a good team right now. The best? I don't know. We still got 5 weeks to play. We'll find out after 5 weeks what the pecking order is. But they're a better team now than they were when they started out 2-4.
What is it like to be in this position that even after back-to-back losses, that so many significant chips in the back pocket for the Titans with some huge victories early on in this season, like against Buffalo and Kansas City?
Well, look, it's huge. I always talk about stacking wins, just like sitting at that blackjack table. You can only stack chips one at a time. And so you stack those wins, and that helps you a lot. But what has to happen now, guys, look, when you get in the last third of the season, which is what we're in now, now you are playing for positioning. You play the early part of the season, to be able to move and to have a chance to be playing to get into the tournament. All right? Now, these last 5 weeks, they're critical. That's why the National Football League scheduled so many division games towards the end of the season to make it meaningful. And this is very meaningful right now. And here's what has to happen in the National Football League. For the Titans, just like any other team, you're into a five-week season now, and you're really into a series of one-week seasons, 5 weeks in a row. That's where the Titans are. So they've got to figure out a way, once they get back from this break, of being able to put a plan together to beat Jacksonville here.
What has it been like to just see the season that Harold Landry's put together for the Titans, as well as the continued growth towards superstardom for Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, Big Jeff, I mean, again, as I say, and I give John Robinson and I give Amy Adams Strunk all the credit in the world for, taking Big Jeff when he came out. We all know, what he was, and then he had the injury. And look, this guy has been phenomenal. Just, I mean, not recency, any recency bias in this, but just the last ball game, the perimeter screens that New England was running were hurting the Titans' defense, and the primary tackler on those perimeter screens before it really got going was Jeffrey Simmons. The guy's had a remarkable year, and I love the year that he's been having. I mean, it's incredible to watch. It's fun to watch. I just want him to get some. And Harold Landry's been available every week. That's been huge for this team, and he's played a lot of snaps. I just want to get the other dudes back with him so we can get that 7-man rotation back that we had when this defense was really ginning well.
The Bills and the Cowboys both got off to really good starts and both have slumped of late. What do you think's happened with both of those teams?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys, the Cowboys, are a peculiar team. They've been up and down. I still think they've got one of the best rosters in the league. I mean, it's very peculiar. When you watch their games, I haven't watched them real close, but what has happened, I think, in every ball game that they've lost, they've had one unit be able to fall down. One week it's been the special teams, one week it's been the defense, one week it's been the offense. You really need everybody playing in a synergy together to be consistent. The Bills have an excellent roster, and again, I'm going to be very honest here, I hope the Bills lose every game from here on out, all right? But when you really start watching them and seeing what's going on, I mean, they're going to go as far as that quarterback can take them, because they're a good football team personnel wise. That was a huge win, for the Titans over those guys. And so to me, they're going to go as far as that quarterback's going to take them.
the Rams signed Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr., and they haven't won since, 0-3. Do you think that's messed up chemistry? You think it's just coincidence? How do you read that?
They got no chemistry out there. Look, there's a difference in building a team and acquiring talent. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, they're bringing in mercenaries. That's what they're doing. It's a mercenary, and I've never seen it work in this league. You know, I've seen other teams try it. It never works in this league. Plus, neither one of those guys have played much. You know, they really haven't had any. And I promise you, out there in L.A., I mean, I coached in L.A. You know, it's what have you done for me lately out there? Guys come in, guys leave, nobody cares. Just get it done. I don't think it's had any effect on the team at all. I just think what has happened is people have figured out, you know, and the Titans did it, you know, out there, that the Rams are a very talented team. They're not a real physical football team. So if you can get physical with them and you can take it into the fourth quarter against them and make them keep banging them around a little bit, you got a chance to beat them in four quarters.
Coach, we always appreciate your time. Tell me, what can we look forward to Friday on the Titans, Amy, and Coach Mack podcast?
Oh, you know, it's Titans, Amy, and plus I'm glad you said Titans, Amy, Coach Mack, because, you know, I vowed never to do a podcast when I came here 5 years ago. I had a dozen opportunities. I said, I'm not doing those. No, when Mike Keith and Titans Amy said, would you do a podcast? Absolutely. I'm a big fan of both of them. So it's been very well received. This week, we're kind of giving a recap of what's going on, you know, with the Titans. We're giving a recap. We've got several really interesting interviews already in the can that we're gonna filter out, you know, once this is over. But this one that's coming out, and I'm glad you said Titans, Amy, Coach Mack, because I want her name first, because I'm scared of Amy Wells. And I just wanted her name first. It is Titans, Amy, Coach Mack, but it's a lot of fun. It's been very well received, and thanks for asking about it.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And are we ever going to see wide release of the Coach Mack bobblehead that they keep using to promote these things?
Coach Mack bobblehead it's been a phenomenon. Look, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Randy Wilmore and those people were outstanding. It was his idea once we started it and launched it, and now it's taken off. Now we've got an Amy Wells bobblehead. We've got a Mike Keith bobblehead, a singular one floating around out there. But, yeah, look, let me say this. I really love the state of Tennessee and the fans of the Vols and of course, the Titans fans and everybody involved. I mean, it's the reception of that thing has been great, and I'm telling you, the subject that they had to work with when they made mine, they were incredible. The job they did,
Coach. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy the open date, and of course, getting back to business with the 5-game season that remains. But can't wait to talk to you again in the future. But thank you for joining us tonight,
guys. It's always a pleasure. You guys are the best. See you.
All right, thanks, thank you very much. Dave McGinnis joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We wish everyone the happiest of holidays. Tonight, I believe, is night 3 of Hanukkah. So, again, hope everyone is having a fantastic holiday season. And, boy, it's hard to believe that we're inside of 4 weeks to Christmas and we're inside of 5 weeks to 2022.
Yes, it is amazing. Yeah, it's flying by. I tell you what helped make it fly by. There was an entertaining football team to cover.
Yes.
Last year, I didn't think December would ever get there.
No.
But that does help. It does help.
It does. But anyhow, last night, Tennessee basketball. Lady Vols are playing right now. But last night, Tennessee looked so good against Presbyterian.
Yeah.
And, you know, they went back and forth a little bit, trailed 10-8 at one point. But, boy, they separated and never looked back.
They did. They did it with outstanding shooting. And a guy that shot as well as anybody was Justin Powell. He was 5-for-5 on three-pointers. And was just terrific. He had 3 in a row in the corners. They set him up well. The transfer from Auburn with a outstanding game for Tennessee. Met with the media last night. Here comments from Justin Powell.
Justin, are you adjusting to coming off the bench and trying to heat up? I mean, you knocked your first one down, and obviously it didn't look like a rough adjustment. But off, you know, in practice, has it been different mentally trying to get your mindset as a guy who comes in and can contribute right away?
I mean, yeah, my mindset's always just be ready. You're always going to get your call and always going to get your moment. You just got to be ready for it. As far as coming off the bench, you know, I don't mind it, to be honest. You know, somebody's got to do it, so it might as well be me. We got a lot of guys who are good, and everybody's got a chance to have a good night every night. So Just whoever's shooting well that night, whoever's playing well that night, they get the call. And if not, the next man up. That's the beauty of our team.
Is that the Vijay you guys see in practice hitting shots at the rate he was tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Vijay's always been good in practice. He's always hitting shots in practice, and, you know, he's had flashes of that last year. You know, Vijay's just – he's still trying to figure out, you know, what he's trying to do best out there. And, you know, obviously he's a great scorer, and that's what he did well tonight. And, you know, he provided a lot for us in the beginning.
How much fun is it for you to, you know, just go out there and shoot a perfect 5-of-5 from three?
It's good, but, you know, there's always the next game. You know, that doesn't really mean anything right now. We got a good win, which is really good, but, you know, we got our eyes set forward to Colorado and then Texas Tech. So, you know, we got to keep our eyes forward, and, you know, it feels good, but always on to the next one.
Justin, what's it like to sort of, you know, be here and have to, you know, fight for minutes on a daily basis? I imagine you and most of the other guys on the team, you've probably not been on the, you know, bench a lot in your careers. What's that like to sort of have to re-earn that on a daily basis?
I mean, it's great. For me, I love it, to be honest. That's the reason I came here. You know, I wasn't promised anything. I could have gone somewhere else and, you know, played 30 minutes a game, but that's not what I was about. I wanted to come here and get better every single day and, you know, play against good competition and, you know, fight for spots. It's just great being able to have depth on our team and, you know, go at each other in practice, and it just makes us better at the end of the day.
Coach Barnes said you've made a lot of strides here as late on the defensive end. Just where do you feel like you've grown the most, I guess, in the past few weeks on that end?
Just, you know, on-ball stuff. You know, it's different every system you go to, trying to figure out and grasp, you know, the system, and especially on the defensive end. Everybody's got their defensive schemes that they like, but especially now with scouting reports and stuff like that, understanding really what Coach wants and Coach Schwartz wants. But once you understand that, you start to get into rhythm like that, and then that translates to offense. But just kind of grasping all the scouting reports and, you know, really trying to figure out what you want to do.
Justin, just now that you've kind of began to feel comfortable, just what's the next step for you as y'all get ready for SEC play here soon?
I think a lot of us just taking care of our bodies. You know, we're all a little banged up, but, you know, go out there every single day and, you know, compete. That's going to be our big thing, and just everybody staying right and staying ready, because you never know when something's going to happen, or you never know when somebody's going to be out sick. But it's always just staying ready, and that's what's going to help us at SEC play.
Justin, how excited are y'all to kind of get out on the road and play an actual, you know, road game in a hostile environment and all that stuff?
I mean, I think it's going to be fun. You know, going out to Colorado, great place. It'll be fun to actually have a true road game and see what we're about. And we're obviously going to hit some adversity the next couple games, but it'll be interesting to see how we respond to that. And it'll kind of define us and see how we can translate that to SEC play and be ready for that.
That's Justin Powell, 15 points, 5-of-5 on threes. Tennessee, 14-of-27 on threes against Presbyterian. Tennessee also shot over 50% from the field. Tennessee averaging 10.2 threes per game so far this year. They averaged 6.6 last year. But just a tremendous shooting performance by Justin Powell.
Yeah, boy, it sure was. So impressive. Come John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams, and we're here at Double Dogs on Kingston Pike at Ebenezer.
Let's hear from Tennessee point guard Kennedy Chandler, 17 points, 7 assists, 7 steals, record-tying 7 steals. Here's Kennedy Chandler.
Kennedy, it was pretty clear that Coach wasn't happy after last Friday's performance. Can you, you know, what did you guys do differently? How was your preparation different? Because you were clearly locked in from the tip-off tonight as a team.
He said that led to me not having a good practice before that, and how you gonna practice, how you gonna play, and I didn't practice well, and that what led to me not playing well against Tennessee Tech. And he told me that I'm gonna start being more focused and concentrating and practice more, and that's what I did. This ever since Sunday, I've been locked in practice, competing every day, and you know, competing against the Kai Asante every single day, which led to me playing very well on defense today. And he said my defense will. I had gotten better today in today's game, so that's what led to me having a great defensive game today.
Rick said, too, that you guys spent some time, that he put some stuff on tape. Was that practice or game stuff that you guys kind of went over after the way that things went Friday?
We watched film for practice and game, so after the Tennessee Tech game, we watched film that Sunday. We always watch film from the game, and you know, just the bad plays that we had and the good plays. But normally you want to see the plays that we know we could get better on. That's what we did today, and we took the film and went straight into practice and got better and for today's game, because we feel like we took Tennessee Tech lightly. But we know, just no matter what the team is, who they have, we got to come in and compete like it's the number one team in the nation.
Kennedy, what's it been like for you to have Zakai and Santi to kind of go up against them in practice every day?
It's really good. You know, they get me better every single day in practice, and we compete every single day, and that's what helps me get better and leads to me in the games guarding. So I never guard somebody quick as Zakai, so that leads to the game be guarding somebody not quick as him, knowing that nobody will better get in front of me while I'm playing defense against them, and you know, they help me get better every single day.
Keeping the theme on practice, just how big of an adjustment has it been where there's, if you have a bad practice, there's negative ramifications once you leave practice floor and you can't just out-talent everybody?
Say that one more time.
Has there been an adjustment not being able to just have a bad practice and then go out there and maybe out-talent a team and there being negative ramifications?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you got to come in and practice every single day knowing that you want to get better and not taking days off. Like Coach said, that's what led to me. I had one bad practice the day before the game, and that would led to me not having a good game. And he told me that I gotta come back and have a good practice to get prepared for this game, which I did. So, you know, if I have a bad practice, you know, I gotta take the learnings from that practice. And if we had one more practice, he would have told me that I would have to come back and compete that practice. So just take every practice. Don't take it for granted and come in and want to get better that whole 2 hours of practice.
Kennedy, the VJ that was out there today, is that the guy that y'all sort of been waiting to see in the game?
That's the view that we wanted to see. I told him and JP, they made, I don't know how many threes they had combined, but those are two players that we wanted to see, especially VJ. VJ had knocked down great shots. I told him, be ready to shoot. I'm going to find you. I told him and JP that. And I tell all my shooters that, him, I tell VJ that, JP that. And Zakai and Santi, I said, just know I'm going to find y'all because I know I'm going to get to the right spots and find y'all, and y'all be ready to shoot. And that's what they all did today.
You've got 12 steals, I think, over your last two games. Is it, when you're that productive on the defensive end, is it as much fun to play defense as it is to play offense?
Yeah, you know, my defense gets my offense going. You know, me beating my defender up, me getting hot hands on him, me pressuring the ball and stuff like that. Coach told me that my quickness, I should use that on defensive end, not just the offensive end. So I've been taking that in, listening to Coach Barnes, just ways to defend my man, you know, pressuring the ball more, picking up higher now, not waiting to get the half court. So, you know, that's what I've been doing so far. You know, it's hard in practice when I'm doing against Zakai, but I know if I could do it against him, I could do it against any guard in college basketball. So me picking up my defender more, which I've been doing very well. So it's been going great so far, and I got to keep doing that.
Kennedy, how much are y'all looking forward to playing sort of a true road game and to get that opportunity, you know, before SEC play starts to go to Colorado?
You know, this is our first road game. You know, we got to be locked in, you know, ready to compete against Colorado. And, you know, like I said before, that practice on play them Saturday, the practice on Friday go determine, you know, if we're ready to compete and play. So we got to be locked in. First real road game, I could say, against other fans in Colorado. You know, they got a great team, got some great kids, got a great player. So, you know, we got to come in ready to play against them.
Kennedy Chandler, Tennessee point guard, 17 points, 7 assists, record-tying 7 steals. Outstanding performance by the freshman point guard.
Very much so.
All right, we're going to draw a couple of names for qualifiers for the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville. All right. Let's see what we've got here. George Shulman is one of our qualifiers.
And goodness gracious, I think it is James. I'm going to say Naughty. James.
There we go.
So,
from Knoxville.
That's right.
Yep.
So. I think that's it. Apologize if I've fractured it. But anyhow, we will certainly have our folks get in touch with you to know that you are now finalists, and That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. We appreciate Double Dogs for having us out. Have a great night.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.